numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland.
What's up, party people?
Fresh off cashing his Vegas Golden Knights Pacific Division ticket. Nicely done.
Let's go.
I hit a Moneyline hockey parlay last night. Nice. Documented 1-0 on the season.
That's right. I think I've been documented 1-0 as well.
Yes.
Now I just need Linus Olmark to bring home the Vezina. Let's
wow.
go.
Good for you. All right. All right. Good luck. Andy McNeil will join us today. How about that?
Yeah.
Andy McNeil to talk about the postseason playoff series that we have intact. His thoughts on each and every one of those in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And, of course, we'll talk NBA playoffs with Tom Byrne. With Joe Fortenbaugh, Drew Dinsick joins us again. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk about the Rays and beyond. Paul Carr, Premier League picks. My goodness, we are stacked for 2 hours here on a Friday. But first, Kelly, oh, yeah.
Anything big happened yesterday?
Oh, happy day. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of these times, rarely on this show, where I just say, listen, you're going to have to indulge me for 10 minutes. The last time this happens when my father passed away, and I'm like, look, I know you didn't tune in for this, but it's literally the least I can do. Well, this morning in a far different realm, a segment 24 years in the making. In the words of Jim Lampley, when George Foreman knocked out Michael Moore after coming back from the wilderness, it happened. It happened. Daniel Snyder appears to be on his way to selling the Washington football team. And for a generation, and maybe even beyond a generation of Washingtonians and those who have grown up in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, I cannot express to you what a moment this is in time. Daniel Snyder reportedly selling the Washington football team, selling the franchise to Josh Harris, a group led by Josh Harris. He owns the Sixers for $6.05 billion. That far exceeds the Broncos franchise tag. When they sold to the Walmart heir, Rob Walton, for $4.65 billion. Daniel Snyder purchased the Washington franchise and hell ensued in May of 1999 for $800 million. So think about that, $800 million in 1999. Here we are 24 years later. He gets to sell it for $6.05 billion, which I'll document momentarily why I say he gets to sell it. Deal for the Commanders likely won't be approved until league meetings scheduled for May 22nd through the 24th in Minneapolis. Let me just say this again for those who are new. I grew up in D.C., and let me just say this. It's not a sports town, right, in the way that Philly and Boston and Chicago and New York are sports towns. Those are real true blue American sports towns. Washington, D.C. was a Redskins town. It was a skins town back in the day. There's a generation of us who grew up on the Bullets, not the Wizards. You think it's just a name change. No, we don't identify. We grew up on the Orioles, not the Nationals. We grew up as a generation of Washingtonians that didn't have a baseball team. Too young to know the Senators, too old to know the Nationals. And the Caps were a wonderful diversion from all the mishugas that ensued with the Washington football team all these years. But the Caps, in many ways, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2018, it was a 44-year journey from the abyss whose storybook really came to a close. To be quite honest with you, I think if you give truth serum to Washington Capitals fans, if you told them you're not going to win another Stanley Cup for 20 years, be like, hey, we got our one. We got there. But this was a franchise that captured all of our minds and all of our attentions. And, you know, while most American sports fans wax a lot about how, you know, have been here for generations, wax about how their dad took them to baseball games, the national pastime, and that's how they bonded with their fathers. For me, it was my immigrant father and the Skins. To Skins Town. And let's just start with Daniel Snyder took what was most beloved, the most beloved thing to so many of us, kidnapped it from us and forced us to watch horrible things done to this franchise for a generation. We thought this was a life sentence. And so that's why yesterday, Republican, Democrat, Independent, it's the only thing that everybody from that area of the country can agree on. This man had to go. And finally, he did so many awful things that even he couldn't hold on to the franchise. Just talk about the football thing. The football on the field stuff is almost incidental. First of all, he gets the team and he starts firing people immediately, people who have been there for years, employees. He inherited a team that had a season ticket waiting list of decades moving forward. Turned it into a team that had a season ticket waiting list of zero, where the crowd was overrun by opponents' fan bases. But from the football side of things, I mean, again, it's almost incidental. Deion Sanders, Bruce Smith, you remember it. He treated like a fantasy football team. Let me just go through some of the other horrific names under his ownership and that of his stooge, Vinny Serrato, for so many years. Mark Carrier, all these guys overpaid grossly. Jeremiah Trotter, Adam Archuleta, Trunk candidate, Jesse Armstead, Antoine Randle L, all guys that were way past their primes, gave them multi-year deals. Again, a fantasy football team. I had no idea what they were doing. Then he sues season ticket holders during the recession in 2008, 2009, because they were unable to sort of fulfill their commitments. Season ticket holders from the 60s. Total football damage. Just 6 of the 24 seasons did Washington reach the playoffs. Only 2 playoff wins in that span, 164, 222. But again, that was just the on-the-field stuff. He banned all signs at FedEx Field because he was worried that people would have signs against him for all of his horrible off-the-field stuff. He was right, but he banned them. He's a dictator. Then he sold expired peanuts, Kelly, at one point, that came from a bankrupt airline. Don't forget about that. All of the radio stations in D.C. were derisively called Dan Jazeera, because all they were his, you know, just pulpit arms. But here's what, and then those kind of almost, I don't want to call them meaningless crimes, but compared to what came later, they do in the scheme of things. Toxic, predatory culture. Accused directly, by the way, of facilitating that culture. Accused of sexual assault himself. Accused of harassing, intimidating witnesses and reporters. Because the NFL wouldn't reveal the results of those investigations, Congress had to step in with federal investigations of a football team. Costa Rica, 2013. This is serious, y'all. This guy's an awful human being. Had to go. Costa Rica, 2013. Some of the cheerleaders on a trip said they were required to be topless. And though the photographs used for the calendar would not show nudity, they invited people to watch, middle-aged men to watch, suite holders as well. All men granted up-close access to the photo shoots. One evening at the end of a 14-hour day that including posing and dance practices, the squad's director told 9 of the 36 cheerleaders that their work wasn't done. They had a special assignment for the night. Some of the male sponsors had picked them to be personal escorts at a nightclub. These are kids. These are girls, young ladies. This is that dude who owned this team. Get out of here. Let us have our team back. My God. And by the way, would any of this have happened if the brave men and women, specifically the brave young women, who came forward at great personal risk to reveal all of this. They deserve a huge shout out. And then, even with that, might this have happened unless he did the ultimate crime? First, suing his co-owners because he thought they were trying to smear him with financial impropriety allegations. They ultimately sold their minority stake back to him. But then the real thing, trying to fudge revenue sharing numbers with fellow owners. And that proved to be the ultimate crime in the end. It was too much. That was the one that put it over the top. Cooking the books, having two different sets of books to steal money from fellow owners. And in the end, the NFL probably quietly saying to him and his wife, Tanya, you know what? You can sell here for $6 billion or this is going to get really ugly. All the while he's saying out loud that he's got stuff to smear Roger Goodell and other owners with. The other owners didn't budge. Really? Go ahead. Jim Irsay even said that. You can investigate me till the cows come home. Doesn't change any of this. Forbes ranking the Commanders the 8th most valuable team in sports, ahead of the Lakers and Manchester United. We see that with the price tag. And so, ding dong, the witch is dead. And those of us who grew up on this beloved franchise, one of the great franchises, three Super Bowl titles under Joe Jackson Gibbs in the 80s and early 90s, get our team back. We thought it was a life sentence. And so, what of Josh Harris? Well, here's what we know about Josh Harris. He oversaw the process in Philadelphia. Say what you will, but it did net Joel Embiid, one of generational talents in the NBA. And he did hire Daryl Morey later, who was the founder of the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, an analytics guy. And so you know, and by the way, under Dan Snyder, Washington was the last team that showed up at analytics conferences. So you know now it's under smarter ownership if this in fact goes through. So we have that hope as well. And Daniel Snyder, when he bought the team, he lived amongst us in the D.C. area. Nobody knew who the hell he was. I will tell you this about Josh Harris. He went to high school with my older brother. His dad was my dentist. His dad was the nicest dude in the world. This is the happiest day of all of our lives. I cannot tell you the number of texts that went back and forth between people. And so who knows how this will turn out. Maybe they'll be like the Sixers and they will not have won a title yet. And they won't themselves. Maybe they will just sort of be mediocre for years and years. None of us know. But the one thing that I do know is that the biggest thing today is that Josh Harris is not Daniel Snyder. And ladies and gentlemen, the long life sentence, the national nightmare for those of us who grew up on this football team. We thought we would die with this guy as our owner. This team is now free to be actually, perhaps, a contender and a winning football franchise moving forward. That may not seem like a lot to you, but for those of us who grew up in that area of the country, what a day it is. And everything else was second to that. We'll talk betting on the other side. We'll begin with the NBA playoffs. Tom Byrne from Mad Dog Sports Radio next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Going to do 30 more seconds? Not even mentioned in any of that, Kelly. The unwillingness to change the team's name until sponsors pulled out, of course, dark cloud over the Washington franchise all those years. Now can we get a name change back to the Washington football team or something else?
Fish taco holders.
And can we get the stadium back in D.C.? All right, got it out of my system. Let's talk some basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, from Mad Dog Radio, Mad Dog Sports Radio, of course, Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight, Tom Byrne joins us on the show. You can follow him on Twitter, at one Tom Byrne. That's the number one Tom Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. How you doing, Tom?
Gil, I'm great. Can we get the old fight song back, too? Hail to the Redskins. They should have made it Pigskins or Red Tails. We got to bring back the fight song.
Got to bring back the fight song. Change the name. Got to bring back the fight song. I'm with you. Oh, what a day it is. Listen, though, it's great because the NBA playoffs are finally here. Well, not quite, anyway. We have the loser of the 7-8 versus the winners of the 9-10s tonight. Any thoughts on those two games first before we get to the broader series?
Yeah, I do like Minnesota. I understand Gobert is questionable. Karl-Anthony Towns is questionable. I believe both are going to play. Now, if you want to convince me, Gil, that maybe the vibes in the locker room are awful and that's why you want to stick away from this game, I guess I'd buy that. But my numbers tell me that Minnesota's the right side. I jumped on this at 4.5. Unfortunately, that line is long gone. 5.5, I'd be careful. I'd still lean Timberwolves, though. I mean, bottom line is these guys are going to play. When it's officially announced, I can see it getting to 6. I'm going to take Minnesota tonight. Oklahoma City's got a bright future, second youngest team in the league. If you have not seen Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's worth the price of admission. He's phenomenal. Towards a very good perimeter defender. But Minnesota's just a more talented team. And so I think Rudy Gobert should come back with a little something to prove, too. Give me Minnesota tonight. Unfortunately, the number's gone, but I did lay 4.5.
Hypothetically, if the T-Wolves get through, can they give the Nuggets a run for their money in a 1-8?
You know, nobody wants to respect Jokic. Maybe it's just us in the analytical community that love Jokic. I don't know about him, but He's a phenomenal player. I think Minnesota, though, can give him a trouble. Gobert, if he can find his old self. Because with Utah, in terms of impact or winning, if you look at any of the important metrics, the predictive metrics like predictive LeBron, Drip, Darko, even estimated plus-minus, which is a little less predictive, they all loved Gobert. I don't know what happened this year, man. We need a whole show to break it down. He has been a disaster considering what they gave up for him. But he has a chance to at least bother Jokic a little bit if Jokic wants to play around the rim. Now, he'll probably facilitate from 15 feet out. And if you look just at the pure talent, then you would assume Minnesota could give him some fit. I'm going to give Denver the benefit of the doubt, though. I think Denver might take six, but Denver wins the series.
All right. Well, might take six. That's a concession of some sort there. Well, there's six series, Tom, that are already locked in. We won't do them one by one. Let me ask sort of a broader question, which is, all right, where are the upsets? Let's do it that way. Which of the teams that are dogs in the series, maybe it's the Sacramento Kings, maybe it's the New York Knicks, maybe it's the Clippers even, which is the one or two that you think are going to advance in the first round?
I don't see many. Now, let's also talk about home court advantage and how important it's been. If you look at points per 100 metric skill, Kelly knows this, over the last couple of years, 4.6 per 100 was the number last year. 4.7, I believe, was the number year prior. So far, small sample size, it's meant nothing. In fact, the road teams have been much better. So right now, I'm handicapping with about a 3.7. I'll give you one potentially, and that's Sacramento. I know you want to assume the Warriors are going to win. You're a big Golden State guy, and they probably will, but I think Sacramento is getting slept on a little bit just based on the fact the Warriors were historically bad on the road. They were 11-30. They were 5 points per one of the possessions worse than, I mean, come on now, that's awful, than regular average teams. So bottom line is I definitely think Sacramento has a chance here. I took them. Anything better than a pick them in game one, I think, is a pretty good play for Sacramento.
You are the first one. I'll give you this, though, that is a lot less bullish on dogs in general. So not a notion about the Lakers taking down the Grizzlies either. That's the most closely lined of all these series.
Yeah, I'm on the Grizzlies. I laid the three. Now, I will say this. This is one of those plays where I took it immediately when the number opened for what I could take it at. And as the week has progressed, I find myself regretting it a little bit just based on the reality that, you know, Steven Adams, I know he's benched in the postseason last year, guys, but again, looking at some of the metrics that I appreciate, he's been a top 65 to 75 player this year in terms of impacting winning. I think that's going to be something to keep in mind here. Brandon Clark, too. So Jaren Jackson Jr.'s got to stay on the floor. He cannot get in foul trouble. But if he does, Desmond Bane is somebody nobody really has heard of, but he's phenomenal. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., that's a hell of a trio. I understand the fits around LeBron are much, much better now. They're playing better basketball. Again, home court advantage has meant a lot. The numbers moved to 3.5. Believe it or not, I wouldn't play to 3.5. If you could still get a 3 somewhere, I would take a chance at it like I did. But I'm going to take Memphis here. Maybe I'm, you know, overestimating home court advantage, but it's meant more this year. It was worth 2.7 points for one of the possessions this year. For context, it was 1.9 a year prior. It always goes up by around 3 points in the postseason. Give me Memphis in the series. I know everybody wants to take the Lakers. You turn on ESPN, you would think the Lakers are going to win the whole thing. I don't know that they get past the first round.
Well, is there a game one line you like better than the others? Maybe it is the Grizzlies then in game one.
Yeah, I do. I had the Grizzlies late 3. I laid 6.5 with the Suns. I don't think that number is available anymore either. But, you know, the Suns have not lost a game with Durant. Now, they asked a lot for these guys to get acclimated together without much time at all. I understand that. You know, you do wonder a little bit about Russell Westbrook, right, Gil? I mean, he's a fun player to watch, but if he has this mentality that, oh, I'm going to take it to Kevin Durant, that's not going to be a good thing for the Clippers. Kawhi's Kawhi. You know, I don't say it with a lot of conviction. Obviously, it's a very efficient market, especially this time of year. But 6.5 is good enough for me. I'll take the Phoenix Suns. They have the highest ceiling, not only in the West, but in the entire NBA, really. It's just a matter of whether or not it's fair to ask a team that's barely played together to put it all together and win a championship. So that's another game I like. You know, as far as some of these other matchups, Boston, if you could find 8, although that's long gone, last I checked, I like them. I just don't think that Atlanta matches up well at all in that series. So those are the games that I'm on at the moment.
All right, before I ask you the final question, the last one here is there a series here of the ones that are locked in the first round that you feel most confident in an exact number of games? In other words, Knicks, Cavs in 7, Celtics in 5, Sixers in 5. Which is the one where you feel like there's a length of games that you feel most confident in?
Yeah, it's a great question. In fact, I haven't played any of these. Top of my head, I'd probably go Philly and Brooklyn. I think that has 5 written all over it. Unfortunately, the juice was taken out of the series, but we knew Ben Simmons wasn't going to play. I just can't see Brooklyn winning in Philadelphia. I really can't. Could I see them getting 3 or 4 in Brooklyn? I could. So the old gentleman sweep, I think, is the most likely result. You know, I'm thinking about Boston, but I actually think Boston, which I have winning the championship, might sweep Atlanta. So I guess I'd probably say Philly, Brooklyn in 5. I don't know if there's a lot of value there last time I checked the number, but I think that's the most likely result.
Philly and Brooklyn in 5, the gentleman sweep, which we've talked about before. What's the number on that, Kelly? We'll look for the exact number. Philly, Brooklyn in 5. Okay, so because we're so close to the sun on all the betting.
+210.
+210, by the way, is the answer. Thank you, Kelly. Yeah. We rarely ask the sort of macro questions, which you know, the average person who doesn't bet, like, hey, who's going to win the NBA? Who's going to win the NBA championship? Who do you have in the Western Conference championship? Now that we have seen almost, you know, every team slotted, and we at least know who the Nuggets are going to play one of two teams here. Who's in the Western Conference championship? Let's start there.
Yeah, that's the toughest one. I like Boston in the East, Milwaukee and Philly 2-3 in that order. You know, the West is very difficult. You can make an argument for the Warriors, but they got to go on the road. You can make an argument, I suppose, for the Lakers. You already know I'm not going to. I'm going to either go Memphis or Denver for you. I haven't played a future here. I tell you what, I'll step up and throw a little love Denver's way. Again, Jokic has been phenomenal all year. I love Embiid. I'm a Sixers season ticket holder, okay? But bottom line is Jokic, all the metrics show he could have easily won his 3rd in a row. They're both phenomenal stars. They're great. They're not Kareem, Wilt, Russell, but nobody else is safe. Both need the postseason success. You know, it's funny. We always go to the points per 100 metrics for Jokic, but then conveniently we forget about him in the postseason where he's been a negative, whereas Embiid's +282. Jokic is in the negative. He's got a little something to prove. He does have his wingmen. Remember now, Jamal Murray was phenomenal in that bubble. Can he rediscover his own self? I don't know, but if he can, man, Denver with Michael Porter Jr. has got all the size in the world, can get his shot anytime he wants. He's kind of a very, very, very poor man's Kevin Durant. I think Michael Malone's a good coach. I think Denver, and this will surprise some, and you could get a good value on them just because they're one seed, but you're not going to get, you know, your typical one seed price, which is a good thing for bettors. I'm, believe it or not, going to go and take Denver Nuggets here.
Tom, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the playoffs.
Still love the show. Really appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tom Byrne, everybody. I had one Tom Byrne on the Twitter machine from Mad Dog. Sounds like he likes Boston better than everybody, though, in the end.
Yep.
Let's talk some hockey with Andy McNeil. The Stanley Cup playoffs are upon us. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Ladies and gentlemen, return of the Mac, Andy McNeil, Digital Gamblers, where you can find him on Twitter. He's our hockey analytics expert. How you doing, Andy? Good to see you, man.
Hi, Gil. Nice to meet you. I've heard so much good stuff about this show. It's finally nice to be on. I've been really dreaming of this day for a while now.
Well, we've started right where we left off. Kind of tone. How you doing, man? Come on, it's the playoffs.
I'm doing good. A bit of a cram here, trying to. The NHL didn't give me any leeway here to get ready for these series prices. I mean, everything was left to be decided until the very last minute, and the series prices started to pop up just as fast as those games started to end last night. So definitely a little short on sleep, and I've got a lot left to do today.
Yeah, your boy Gil even jumped in last night with everyone needs to win moneyline parlay. The Stars, Avalanche, Oilers, Devils. Devils got lucky that the Devils got back from a 3-goal deficit. Thank you, Capitals. So that got home. Kelly hit the Vegas Golden Knights to win the Pacific last night as they eked out the division. So there's too much to get to in one segment. So let's start with Let's start with the Bruins, because obviously this is just 65 wins in an 82-game schedule in a sport like hockey. It's just unbelievable, and they managed to figure out a way to win last night again, even though they trailed on multiple occasions. So now we've seen this before, right? Maybe not 65 wins, but we've seen, you know, we've seen a Tampa Bay Lightning team from a few years back. Remember the Blue Jackets sweeping them. We saw how a team like the Montreal Canadiens, on the strength of Carey Price as a goaltender, right, made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals before they got beat. So where do you stand on a team like the Bruins then in all of this?
Well, you know, first of all, I think just talking about these big series underdogs, upsets are common in the NHL. There's no doubt about that, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, when we're talking about these big series underdogs, looking back at the last 10 years of NHL series results, we can see that series underdogs with odds of plus 180 or greater have only won eight out of 42 times in the last 10 years. So these big underdogs are only hitting at about a 19% clip as far as winning the series. That's, you know, more than 10 percentage points, you know, below what you would need to win in order to break even on all of those bets. So, you know, not necessarily the best strategy here, but I think, you know, if you do like the Florida Panthers, unlike me, I'm a big Bruins homer, obviously. If you do like the Florida Panthers, I think you got to look at maybe attacking it on a game by game basis. The odds aren't going to be as attractive, obviously, on the, you know, the game money line odds. But I think, you know, these teams typically win, you know, two plus games in these series, despite being, even when we're talking about the big underdogs or the big favorites, minus 300 and more, those teams are still winning around, you know, in six games on average. So it won't be a wash, but I do think the Bruins deserve to be a huge favorite here. Stanley Cup champion or Stanley Cup caliber offense on the side of Florida, but not much else. They're a very one-dimensional group. I mean, it does seem a little bit unfair on paper that the team, as you mentioned, that just set all these records for regular season victories and whatnot has to play the team that won the President's Trophy last season. That's the first time that that's happening since the NHL started giving out the award for the President's Trophy. But yeah, I think Boston is a big mismatch for Florida. They play to the detail so much better than Florida does, and their goaltender, Linus Ullmark. I know a lot has talked about how Florida has actually gone 2-2 versus the Bruins this year. They don't have a win over Linus Ullmark though, and I would imagine he'll be starting in game one. But even if they decide to go towards a guy like Jeremy Swayman, he's actually maybe been better than Ullmark in 2023. On the season, Ullmark's been the guy, but Swayman has been really good over the last few months. And I think the Bruins should be a big favorite here. Of course, I'm not going to lay minus 320, but I do think there's some value on the puck line or the series spread, sorry, -1.5 games. In fact, I could justify laying -2.5 games here. But as I mentioned, I think this -1.5 series spread lines up much better with, you know, what I just talked about, the historical kind of results. And I think this should be priced closer to minus 160, so you can get Boston to win in six or fewer games at minus 145. We're not talking about, you know, insanely heavy chalk here. I think it's a good bet for a bet that's going to win more often than not, in my opinion.
I like that. Bruins -1.5 games against the Panthers, minus 145. Andy likes it, or Andy has it priced at minus 160. Just real quick sidebar, but you're not like racing to bet the Bruins to win at all just because of the nature of the Stanley Cup playoffs, or the price is just too low for you? The bang for your buck?
No. I mean, at this point, I was, you know, I won't say smart enough. I don't think there were, you know, many people that passed on the Bruins once it looked like they were going to be a contender again this year. And I jumped on earlier this season, so I'm pretty happy with the odds I got on them to win the Stanley Cup. I cashed in on them to win the Atlantic Division at big preseason odds. I'm definitely not going to chase the Bruins and their odds at this point.
But someone who's landing on it now, you wouldn't recommend it?
No, I mean, I would just kind of play it by ear as the playoffs goes along. As far as, you know, the Stanley Cup futures go, I mean, it likely is going to be one of the best teams that wins the Stanley Cup. And yeah, you might win that bet, but plus 330, not very attractive.
Not
right?
Very attractive. Okay, I mentioned that Kelly hit his Vegas Golden Knights Pacific Division bet.
Congratulations, Kelly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
What was your number, by the way?
I don't know, plus 170, something like that?
See, he doesn't know. Okay. Great, that's excellent insight for Kelly on his bet.
I hit it too. I was a chicken, and I immediately bought off my Calgary Flames. I'm about 3 weeks into the season. I bought off my Calgary Flames Pacific Division futures and onto the Golden Knights, and was happy that they got the win last night.
Well, here's the thing, and this is just from being in Vegas, right? So when they got to the Stanley Cup Finals their first season, everybody was, oh my God, all a buzz. They thought they were going to win it all. It's amazing. Everybody was behind them. This year they gut out the division, and I do mean gut it out. And yet you go around town, and I don't feel like anybody really thinks they're a contender. What about this series alone here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is the better team, probably. I don't think Winnipeg will win the series more often than not, but I like the Jets, you know, from a betting perspective. I think this series should be priced somewhere around minus 122, let's say between minus 120 and minus 125 in favor of the Golden Knights. That's a big discrepancy from what we're seeing at sportsbooks and, you know, plus 140 at DraftKings. I think that's a plus EV bet, but I've also seen some you know, bigger series prices out there, plus 150, maybe even bigger than that. So definitely shop around. I don't think there's much separating these two teams. I think that puck luck, shooting and saving luck, is probably the biggest thing that's between these two teams right now. If you look at their team stats, specifically even strength, you can see that Vegas has been the superior offensive team. But if you look at expected goals per 60 minutes, they're pretty even, and I think Winnipeg might even be the better team defensively. They've got a better penalty kill. They do a better job suppressing shot attempts, and you know, the goaltending situation here. Laurent Pessois has come in and stepped up huge in a big way. I don't think Vegas would have won the Pacific Division if he hadn't, with Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson both going down. It looks like Hill is coming back. He's back from his conditioning stint, so maybe Bruce Cassidy will have a tough decision here, but you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Vegas' starting goaltending situation. I don't think Brossois is on the same level as Hellebuck. I mean, there's a reason that he backed Hellebuck up for 4 years. And, you know, Hill, while better than Brossois, possibly, I think, I don't think he's on Hellebuck's level either. But, of course, we'll need Connor Hellebuck to shine in order to win this series. And I'm hoping that happens. I think Winnipeg, you know, we'll win this about 45% of the time, like I said. So plus 140 or better is a good bet, in my opinion.
Wow. Okay. Glad I asked. All right. So
sorry, Vegas.
No, I know. Sorry. Sorry, Vegas. He said.
Actually, I should say, hey, you're welcome, because Vegas is probably going to crush now.
So the Stanley Cup playoffs begins on Monday, by the way. Continues on from there. Bruins among the teams who play Monday. Knights among the teams. Golden Knights among the teams that play on Tuesday. And we have a minute. I'm contractually obligated to ask you this. Tuesday, the Maple Leafs begin as well. It's been since 1967 since they won a cup. Is this the year
that they win a cup? No, I'm not going to say that. I'll never go that far. That's something I don't want to see happen.
Let's start with a Lightning series. How about that?
can they win a playoff series for the first time since 2004? I think they can. But I've thought they would be able to maybe for the last, you know, few years. So we've seen how far that has gotten me. I bet on the Lightning last year as a small underdog in that series. I was cheering for Toronto by the end, being in Toronto, you know, during that series. I really wanted to see what that place would look like when it really popped off. But I think this is the best Leafs team we've seen. And, you know, alternatively, I think this is, you're looking at the worst Tampa Bay Lightning team we've seen as well in the last couple of years. Toronto will win the series maybe 59% of the time. That doesn't result in a bet, and I'm pretty happy about that. I don't want to bet on the Leafs.
It's accurately priced. He don't want to bet on it. You want anything to do with it. Andy, let's do
it. I might have just made that number up, so I didn't have to bet on it.
Let's do this again, Andy. Coming back with Paul Carr.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game, and if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. overrun by one subject and one subject alone. Daniel Snyder. Get out of town, dude. Appreciate all the feedback from everybody. Everybody super excited. Los Vegas 514. Yo, so happy for us. Roger Jones. Sorry, Gil. Did you say Snyder was a dictator without the tater? Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. Great job of itemizing the many sins. Don't forget that Magic is also part of the new ownership group, and that man knows what winning is. Can't wait for the Magic Johnson tweets. Bobby Geddes, all-time segment by Gil right now about Daniel Snyder. Can hear the sincere happiness in his voice. Oh, do you have... I beat Wishnev in tennis yesterday, which was a momentous thing. And then this happened, and I never remembered beating Wishnev in tennis.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, yeah.
You beat Wishnev?
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's probably that.
You remember when, like, Farrah Fawcett passed away, but then Michael Jackson passed away right afterwards, and no one remembered that Farrah Fawcett passed away?
Yeah.
That was yesterday when I beat Wishnev, and then Daniel Snyder got out.
Exactly. Otherwise, that would have been the lead
otherwise,
today.
ESPN.com front page. Primetime. As an avid fan of America's team, the beloved and comparable Dallas Cowboys, I'm sad to see Danny Boy go. First order of business for the new regime should bring back to, should be to bring back Steve Spurrier. See, there's the Cowboys hate. They're all over it. Logic 3227, congratulations. I'm so happy for you on getting your team back. Now I just need to get the Pittsburgh Pirates ownership team to sell. It's borderline criminal how they run this team. Jay Green, well said. Good for all of you. Good for the league. Go get them, Commies. Please change the name. Andrew Uskakovic reminds me that Albert Hainsworth was another horrific signing. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. I appreciated the Skins monologue. I got to the D.C. area 11 years ago. I've only known local NFL games to be opportunities for transient residents to go see their visiting team. So many of us don't know them as a truly local team. Good to hear your perspective. Thank you, Tim. Trip Tepper, your Skins rant today was glorious. Grew up in Richmond, Virginia, which was a Redskin town. Went to Skins and Orioles games as a kid. Glad to see the franchise get a real owner. Don't forget the punter from the University of Richmond, who was a disaster as GM. Phil Weiss, all that being said, if they were a winning owner all these years, he'd not only still be there, but he'd be revered. Losing is the most heinous of crimes. James, at the James Lloyd. I can actually feel your angst and relief in the Snyder eulogy. He is a truly despicable excuse for a human. By the way, I don't say that about anybody. But about that man, I do. In game into membrane. That was beautiful. Congrats, Skins/Commanders fans everywhere. Tom Hudgens, after listening to go through the substitute names for the Washington football team, Commodores, Commodes, etc., I think the best choice is shirts. Okay. Rick Olea, Gil, that was your president from Independence Day speech about Snyder. Brings a tear to this grown man's eye. Hashtag, let's ride. And Doug Wedge, don't forget, bursting poop pipes in the stadium. Hell of an opening, Gil. Happy for you. Yes, there was also that. Bursting poop pipes in the stadium. I forgot to mention that as well. Paul Carr joins us. I could go on and on. I appreciate all the feedback. He is from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast. How you doing, Paul? Oh, happy day.
I'm good. The only thing I can add is a couple times I went to FedEx Field for some soccer games and was just kind of like, it just didn't feel like an NFL stadium, you know, it just wasn't taken care of the same way. Even just getting in and out just didn't feel like it had that NFL quality that you usually see at different places. My only like hands-on experience there.
Yeah. We should point out part of the sale is the stadium. It is an antiseptic cookie cutter stadium that they moved into after its time. Like in other words, those types of stadiums were like what you know, Riverfront Stadium and Three Rivers Stadium were 20 years before that. In the 90s, when they moved into that stadium, that was the age of sports teams, you know, retroactively going into like, you know, the Orioles park at Camden Yards, an old retro field. No, not this franchise. They got everything wrong. Everything wrong.
Yep. That's what it felt like. It felt like they just kind of slightly modernized Riverfront or Three Rivers or Bush or whatever it was.
To be fair, that stadium predated Snyder's ownership tenure.
Right.
So he did grandfather into that. You went to a baseball game yesterday. Speaking of stadiums, where'd you go?
I did. This is Wednesday night. Rangers Royals down at New Globe Life Park or Field or whatever it is. I got to see a 10-1 Royals win. My boy Bobby Witt got 3 hits and 3 stolen bases.
There you go.
And I got my first foul ball.
Oh, so stop it.
That
really
was exciting.
Did you really?
Yeah,
where were you sitting?
Kind of the top end of the first level off to the right toward first base a little bit.
Who hit it?
We're probably like 5 in our section. Ezekiel Duran in the 9th inning.
Ezekiel Duran, baby. A name that will live
at the end of my empty row. Ran and grabbed it before anybody else.
Oh, empty row pickup before kids got there.
Almost got there to catch it. Didn't quite. And then it rattled in the seats and just stuck behind one of the seats and had the fast hands and got in there before. No kids around. I did not have to take it from any kids. Took it from a couple adults, beat them to it.
I got one foul ball in my life. I was sitting right behind home plate at the Giant Stadium. I don't know if it was Oracle at the time or AT&T or Pac Bell, whatever it was at the time. I couldn't even tell you the Giant that hit it. It was not Barry Lamar Bonds. I was not wearing a glove. That ball, from the second it hit the bat, had eyes for me and me alone. It bounces off my hand, hits the brick wall behind me, and right before these three, like, 10-year-olds get to it, I swoop it and immediately give it to my girlfriend so no one can get mad at me. That's what I did.
That's what I did. Good work.
Otherwise, I'm the villain. Foul ball.
Man, you guys with real baseball teams. I have like three home run balls from the Marlins days of playing in the football stadium where there'd just be nobody in the outfield stands. It's like, let me slowly walk over and grab that real quick.
Do you remember when Charlie Sheen would rent out entire sections so he could get a home run ball or something? That dude. Yeah. All right. Premier League picks. We got three. Two tomorrow, one on Monday. Let's go. What do we got?
All right. We're going to start tomorrow. I'm going to take a relative long shot. Brentford to win at Wolverhampton at plus 200. Brentford's only four spots out of Wolves in the standings, but the gap's 12 in points and 25 in goal difference, which is a more accurate reflection of the difference between these two teams. Wolves have been better lately, but they still can't really score, only scored twice in one of their last nine games, and only reached double-digit shots once in their last seven, which is pretty bad when your league average in shots is about 12, 13 a game. Brentford, they're seventh in goals, seventh in expected goals. They scored twice in half the road games this season, so you know they don't kind of button up on the road and tighten things at the back. They'll still go after it a little bit. They're winless in four straight, so I think you get a decent price on this. But of those four, three were against Newcastle and Man United and Brighton, three of the top seven or so teams in the league. Ivantoni's still scoring like crazy for Brentford, third in the league with 18 goals, although he missed a penalty last week. So I like the price here more than anything, plus 200 on a Brentford win at Wolverhampton.
Well, I'm down for a $2 dog on Saturday in the Premier League. Yeah. All right, then it wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total. What do you got?
Yep. Here's your first total. I'm taking over 2.5 in Everton Fulham, plus 120. This is Saturday. Fulham overs have been really good this year. They have the second, number two in the league in total expected goals per game. So just lots of good opportunities for both teams. Everton's out of the relegation zone right now, but just on goal difference, they've stabilized a little bit under Sean Dyche, their new manager, who kept Burnley up for a while. Fulham doesn't have a lot to play for. They're in 10th. They're not going to get relegated. They're not going to, you know, make Europe. But again, just bad defenses on the whole with both sides here. Seven straight Everton games that have 2.5 expected goals. So even though Fulham doesn't have Mitrovic, I think there's going to be goals here one way or the other. So over 2.5.
All right. And then Monday, Liverpool and Leeds, you have a total, and this is a high total.
Yeah. Over 3.5 goals, plus 150. Ooh. I think the price is worth it here. I don't like going over 3.5 because it's just a lot, and you can be like 20 minutes in and know this bet is dead. But both these teams are a little bit desperate. You know, Leeds is trying to avoid relegation. Liverpool is kind of hanging on to a shot at finishing in the top four because that spot in Champions League berth is worth like $100 million or more for them. So a little bit of desperation. First and third in the league in total expected goals per game this season, meaning there's, again, lots of chances for both sides because both sides are decent in attack, decent to good, and their defense is pretty questionable. They just give up lots of shots, lots of good shots. And you know, Liverpool came off a 2-2 draw against Arsenal where they really looked like the title contender we all expected, in attack especially. So maybe they're kind of back on the right track. But again, both teams good on attack, not so good at defense. So I think we're going to get goals. And getting that plus 150 price, I think, is worth playing over 3.5 here. And again, this game's on Monday.
All right, two tomorrow. Brentford, plus 200 at Wolverhampton. Everton, Fulham, over 2.5. And then on Monday, Leeds and Liverpool, over 3.5. By the way, the guy who, one of the valets in my building, it's mandatory. I'm not that bougie. But one of him, he's a big Arsenal fan, as I've mentioned before.
Oh, is he getting nervous?
Every time I get out of the car now, he's like, it's over. We're going to lose this.
He's a true Arsenal fan then, if that's his reaction to things.
He has no hope. You agree with him? It's not going
to
happen.
No, I think it's pretty close to a coin flip. You know, they're a slight plus money, which I think is about right. A lot of it's going to come down to that game at Man City in, I think, 12 days from now.
Yeah, which he says we're totally losing that game.
He's an Arsenal fan.
He's total Arsenal fan. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, gambling porn on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.